If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Well, this is perfect music for a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Kind of a cloudy Friday afternoon. Temperatures are comfortable, though. I'm John Hanson. I'm filling in for Steve Bertrand. Wendy gave us the update. He had some surgery. He's in a little bit of pain, but he's got some good drugs, and he'll be feeling well and hopefully back on his feet and back in the studio here very shortly. Let's jump into what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about where you can get today only beer for a buck. I don't know many places you can anymore, but it's true. We're going to tell you that. And also, we're going to be chatting with the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. And if I had those lines on my resume, I certainly would never be working again, but he's doing a lot of great things, including what he calls noble causes. So we're going to dive into that in just a little bit, but we're going to start out with Andrea Haynes from Blue Sky Innovation. Andrea, thanks for joining us.
Sure thing. Happy to be here.
I can't believe there's anything else in the innovation world besides Pokemon Go this week, right?
I know. That sucked up all the oxygen in a very fun way for a July week.
Were you playing around with it or no?
I'm just getting started.
Right.
I had a super crazy week, but we've been editing tons of stories about it, so it's all we've been talking about, and we actually just posted a feature showing people playing it inside Chicago offices, which is really fun to see them overlaid over traditional office scenes.
We'll segue from playing Pokemon on your phone to a cool app where you can actually get your shoes fixed up, and a new way they're trying to reach a generation that may not be as tech savvy.
Yeah, I love the shoe drop story because they sort of took the traditional cobbler, which we all know and love in person, mm-hmm. sort of took that online so that you can sign up, get shoe repairs organized online, drop them off, kind of no fuss, no muss. Fast forward a little bit, they realize, you know, there's people that want that in-person touch, kind of literally. So now they've opened an actual physical shoe shine stand where you can go and get your shoes shined. And then they kind of use that to hopefully introduce you to their online business.
As I look to the floor, I'm a little bit embarrassed. I don't think I've ever had a pair of shoes shined, but I would certainly use that app. So I'm kind of like the reverse customer. I'd already be in on the front end of their app, but they're looking for people who, you know, maybe they are tech savvy, but they just haven't discovered the app, or maybe that when they sit down, are they hoping that when people sit down, they're going to get a little bit of a lesson on what could happen, where they could fix their shoes? If the guy who's shining the shoes sees a little nook or the heels falling off, he can guide them where to go.
Exactly. And you have to think it's smart. They're in a location at 353 North Clark where you have financial services firms and law firms and people that probably wear pretty nice shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So they catch them in for a $6 shoe shine if they're tenants in the building. And then they can introduce them to the online service where if you need repairs or things where you'd actually be dropping off the shoes, you can, you know, sign up and get involved in that.
It's still a little tech savvy though, even with the shoe shine. You're going to be you can read your newspaper, but not paper newspaper. You're going to be reading on an iPad.
Yep, it's iPads, and it's a pretty slick looking location.
It's pretty cool stuff. And they may open a few more, right? They're at the one location for now?
Yep, they're talking about opening a couple more actual shoe shine stands. So everything old is new again.
Absolutely. Okay, Groupon. I think anyone who's kind of around me or your age has a friend that works at Groupon. And I read this story and I'm wondering, boy, are there a lot of my friends going to be a lot richer today?
Yeah, that's funny. So there's like, maybe not a lot richer, but there are some, you know, the early shareholders when Groupon went public in 2011 and going into 2012, there was a lot of drama during that time. So that particular sort of 6 month period, there was a class action lawsuit by shareholders who felt that Groupon's financial restatements and things cost them money it shouldn't have cost them. So after all these years, there's been a class action settlement that was approved by a judge this week. And so some of those folks are getting some money back.
So for people that don't remember, Groupon opened at what, like $21? It soared up to 30.
Exactly.
And then it pretty much tanked at that point.
Yeah, it's at about $3 now. So, you know, it wasn't at $3 during that period, but it was still a sizable drop.
Anytime you see these class action lawsuits, you see a really big figure and you assume, oh boy, we're all going to get rich. But when you break it down, and I also got to say, I know a lot of friends at Groupon who got rid of their stock when they were able to. So people may have been more consolidated, owning a lot more. We don't quite know how much per person, but we know how much per share, right?
Yeah, per share, they're getting about a third back of what they lost, according to the plaintiff's attorney.
Okay, and the stock traded up less than 2% Tuesday afternoon, and like you said, at $3.50. Okay, this one is really interesting to me because who uses words anymore? Words are such an old way to communicate. Everyone's using emojis to express emotion. I remember when it used to just be colon and parenthetical, and that was a smiley face.
Yep.
And now it's even getting bigger, the emoji world.
Yep, tons of emojis, as we talked about. Like, I don't know, you've probably, as I have, sent texts or things that are entirely emoji, maybe tweets that are entirely emoji.
Stephanie here, one one of the producers at WGN. I think I've just communicated with her via emoji today, including I need parking, I'm filling in for Steve and all this stuff, and where's the coffee, all using emoji.
Yep.
But there was limitations to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, you know, it used to be all the yellow faces and we were all fine with that. I think we're getting more and more sensitive the more there are to like making sure that things are fair to everybody, that there's diversity of all kinds. And, you know, something people zeroed in early on was sort of the race issue where, mm-hmm. you know, you couldn't do different skin colors. So they've tweaked that. Now you had a lot of situations where the athletes and the people doing professional work, lo and behold, were all male figures. So they've now, you know, they're working on expanding the emoji that actually are women that are doing things other than, you know, there's the getting your hair cut,
right.
There's the getting your nails done, you know, there's those things. But we're like, you know, women want to be detectives too. So we're pretty excited about that.
Is it going to be like, and maybe we'll have to wait to see the rollout, but in case you don't know, if you click on the emoji and it is yellow, it opens up almost like a sub level of emojis where you can change the race or the color of the
exactly.
person's skin.
Yeah.
I wonder if it'll be the same sort of thing where you click on it and you get to choose your option.
Yeah, I would think so, right? Because they'll probably keep the male version of many of those too.
I got to ask about Unicode Emoji Subcommittee. This is the decision making. So there is a body that kind of controls the emoji world?
It sounds a little Orwellian, doesn't
right.
it?
Right. But
they have granted your wish. You may proceed.
How do we get on that committee?
I know, right?
That's a killer job. All right, really cool stuff, Andrea. We got to wrap it up for now. People can find you on Twitter at Andrea Hanis, and that's AndreaHanis. And of course, check out the Tribune of Blue Sky Innovation. Thanks
yeah,
for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a look at some traffic trouble spots. Let's go up to Allie Ellison. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch on this Friday. A lot of smiles on Michigan Avenue. It's getting more and more crowded as people pass on by, getting ready to start their weekend. What better way to start a weekend than if you found out that you got a raise, a little bit more money in your pocket? Ravine Gandhi is the CEO and co-founder of GMM Nonstick Coating. And I imagine, Ravine, the first step for getting a raise is knowing when to ask for one, right? I'm sure people have come to you asking for a raise. There's probably a good time and a bad time.
Right. I think it definitely is a bit art and a bit science.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you know that your boss is having a particularly bad week, that's probably a bad time.
Yeah.
If you know the company's in particularly dire straits, that's a bad time. But I think that a good time is when you kind of have data and you know why you're asking for that raise and you're ready to be very succinct, very polite, and just kind of get the facts on the table.
So you got to do your research.
Yeah, I think so. I think that we have about 250 people in my organization. And when people come to me, what I appreciate is they have the facts. It's you know, here's what I think I deserve. Here's why. And they don't expect an answer instantaneously.
I got to ask. So I know a lot of people have been changing jobs. I know that wages are a little bit stagnant. So people have been moving around a bunch. How long should you wait? I mean, I've heard so many different things. I think the standard is what, a year? Is that, I mean, you got to put in that year to show that you're at least worth it.
Yeah, I think that if we're talking, say, the millennial generation, I would probably say a year. And I would say execute during that year. So when you go in, you have a lot of positive momentum. I think another question is, let's say you ask for a raise and you don't get feedback. How long do you wait before kind of going back?
Mm-hmm.
I think that one's a more difficult situation. And what I tell a lot of younger people is, just because you haven't heard immediately from the person who you asked for a raise, it doesn't mean that they're going to say no. It may mean that they don't have the authority to give you a raise. And so from a culture perspective, I feel like I tell young people, you know, it's very bad when an organization only oils the squeaky wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So as the leaders, we want to make sure that not only just the people who complain get raises.
Well, just like politics has a bunch of red tape, so do businesses. And so, I mean, these things got to go sometimes so far up the chain, come all the way down. I mean, it could be a couple months. Is that a question maybe to ask at the end of the conversation when you started, is maybe when can I expect to hear back or when should I follow up on this?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think just be polite and be succinct. And everybody knows that the goal of a good leader is to develop their people and to put people in position to obviously make more and more money. So they're on your side.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is this fine line between being really socially aware about it and then maybe potentially pushing it too far. So you have to be careful.
Do you respect people who are direct and come to you and ask for it? I mean, I
100%.
People, yeah. I mean, so that should motivate people that, look, your boss, even if you don't get that raise particularly then, at least your boss is aware of what your expectations are.
Totally. And this is, again, something that I think is so important for younger people, which is, let's just say that you go to your boss and you're direct. And let's say nothing happens for 8 months or even 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I see these millennials and they freak out sometimes sometimes, oh my God, I didn't hear something. What does it mean? What does it mean? Whereas the older people in my organization who are in their 50s or 60s or even 40s, they've been around the block to know that, okay, I put it on the record and obviously I respect my boss and they're going to come back to me when they come back to me. Past a certain point, I'll go back to them, but they don't freak out with this signaling mechanism.
Maybe we could just send emojis to our boss, just the money symbol a bunch. And that means, please give me more of this.
Yes, we could probably incorporate Pokemon Go. I see people literally outside running around with that, with the dollar sign probably.
One helpful hint is having a specific number in mind. And just like trying to assign value to what you do, that takes a lot of research too. I find one of the hardest things about having that number in mind is trying to find out what other people make in your office. And everyone has a different culture to it. But that's a way to, I mean, that's a good way to kind of measure up where you're going to be and what you might be able to get.
Yeah, it's you know, I definitely realize how quickly things leak. And I kind of assume everyone knows ballpark what other people make. I think that that is very good from a research perspective. There are obviously other online sources where you can find out general information. And most people are friends with people of their sort of generational cohort. And there's a lot of talking. So I think that it's good to have hard data if you can, but supplementing it with anecdotal, hey, you know, it's human nature.
So do your research, have that specific number, because also you don't want to just lay it all out there and then expect the boss to come a number. You want a number. And then also this third point that we have, it seems obvious, but I think that sometimes people lose their cool. It's to avoid being combative. So if you don't get it, what, set the tone for maybe the next conversation?
Absolutely. My biggest advice in this segment is when it comes to your salary and your, you know, these raises, play the long game. Understand your career is long. And don't get too hysterical if after 6 weeks or 6 months, things aren't going exactly well. Ask yourself, do I love working for this organization? And if I do, understand that eventually, you know, if I execute, things will work out. But definitely don't get caught up in short-term thinking.
So a lot of people, I mean, this is going to vary by company, by what you do, by everything. But is there a percentage number that's a really safe bet? Let's say you've done the work, you've done a good job. What's something reasonable that as a boss is not going to throw you for a loop and think that this person's crazy?
Well, I mean, certainly if it's single digits, I think that it's going to be very hard. Now, if you get up to 9%, that might start to be a little bit hard in an environment like this. But I would say mid single digits, it's going to be really, really hard for someone to say that's absurd.
So you are okay with someone stretching it a little bit and telling you what they're worth, but you would be if someone came with some absurd number, that could almost have a counterproductive effect.
Well, absolutely. And the notion of it being absurd, I don't think is tied exactly to the figure. In some cases, people have come to me and said, I deserve potentially 30-50%, but the facts back it up. And I say, you know what? In fact, you deserve more than that. But it really comes down to what have you done and what can you warrant? It's capitalism. The market sets the price.
Can you talk to my bosses, Ravine? That'd be great. You deserve more than 30%. How about that?
Right. GMM Nonstick Coatings is hiring. Hey, you know, send us your resume.
Ravine Gandhi, the CEO and co-founder of GMM Nonstick Coating. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
Plenty more, including where to find dollar beers, coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Loving the music today, Mike. Happy Friday, everyone. I hope your weekend's going to get off to a great start here in just a little bit. I've been teasing this beer for 100 pennies, and my mouth is watering, wondering where we can get these, and revealing the answer now. Stephen Hartenstein is the CFO and CEO of Phil Stefani Signature Restaurants. First of all, Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And where can we find this beer from 2 to 5 today?
Well, at Navy Pier, we've got our 100-year anniversary, and at the Miller Coors Navy Pier Beer Garden, we've got Coors Light, Miller Light, a Miller Mule, the Henry's Hard Ginger Ale, and Miller Light down there for 100 pennies, and nachos, hot dogs, a couple other things.
You don't expect anyone to fill up a pillow sack with 100 pennies. You'll take a crisp $1 bill, right?
However it comes, money is money.
It's been a big year at Navy Pier, a whole revitalization effort, and I imagine that this weekend is such a cool chance to celebrate the 100 year, but also all the new stuff that's going on there.
You know what? The whole revitalization has just really been going extremely well with Miller Coors taking over the sponsorship. They've been very active. The Navy Pier Inc. has done a great job. We had a record week with America's Cup as well as with 4th of July.
You know, we can't enjoy too much outside time here in Chicago, so we try and soak up as much as we can between May and October. And that's when the beer garden is open up. Has that been a popular new spot, the Miller Lite Beer Garden?
It's been actually fantastic, and Mother Nature has certainly been helpful. But people are really enjoying the whole new look and feel of Navy Pier, the new restaurants and activities.
Steve, we were talking that you guys, you know, got the new Ferris wheel, all this sort of stuff, but you guys were there when Navy Pier really started to take off again in the mid-90s. Talk about that experience, how you've watched the pier kind of change and just grow so big as a destination, not only for tourists, but for Chicagoans alike.
Sure. I remember the day we walked out there and telling Phil he was crazy to be putting a restaurant out there, and it's grown unbelievably. There's no better place to be. I mean, you're right on the water. It's the prime spot in Chicago to see the skyline and the waterfront.
You guys have had some awesome crowds for some huge events. We talked about the America's Cup, right? The Louis Vuitton America's Cup, and then the 4th of July. It's been a great summer so far.
So far, so good. We love it. Take it every day at a time. But yeah, it's been an unbelievable year out there.
So what does the new sponsorship mean? When you get a new sponsor, when you get a new someone else to move in, that's going to come with some changes. And you guys love to focus, obviously, on the positive things that means.
Yeah. So they as I said, they've been very active. We at the Beer Garden, we've got live music out there with all the different local talent, the local bands, and people really are enjoying the whole look and feel of the pier and the variety out there.
Let's talk about what must be one of the most crowded weekends on the summer schedule, July 27th to the 31st. Got Lollapalooza in town, and then the Tall Ships. For those, I imagine most Chicagoans have probably recognized that. They've either seen it on TV, heard about it on the radio. Talk about the spectacle that is these Tall Ships when they come to Navy Pier.
It's unbelievable. When you see them coming in and just the whole buzz throughout the pier and throughout the city, with that and then the energy that Lollapalooza brings to this city, it's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, I imagine it's a tough job, of course, but you get to enjoy a lot. You have a nice tan. People can't see it if they're watching the live show. You must be out and about the whole time, right?
High blood pressure. No, it probably came from working out at America's Cup.
All right, now the reason I'm so happy and smiling with you is you brought food for us, didn't you?
We did. Is We're in the hospitality world.
Yeah, is this stuff that we can find on the pier, or did you bring us something special, or what do you got for us today?
We brought you all stuff from the pier. We brought you everything from crab cake sandwiches to some seafood salad, pasta, soup, French fries, of course.
Right. I'm trying to have you go on as long as you can while I dive into one of these boxes. So if you could just fill the next 3 minutes while I eat some of this stuff. One thing I wanted to mention, we mentioned the beer garden. And I think when we hear the phrase beer garden, we think of 21 plus, not really a family-friendly atmosphere. But it's not quite the case at all, in fact.
No, you know what? The whole pier, the whole aura of the pier is family-friendly. And, you know, of course, there's times you want the families to stay up front and the beer drinking in the back. But with all seriousness, the entire pier is family friendly. And with the new Ferris wheel, it's been unbelievable the variety of people we're getting out there.
So specifically today, the special goes from 2 to 5. So you got to leave work early, head on over there, get a dollar. And that includes a few other happy, including hot dog and nachos for a buck.
You got it.
Whoa, look at this. And then birthday hurricanes, live music. And then there's something going on tomorrow too, right, as well? It's a whole weekend celebration.
That's correct. And we're in the business, by the way. If you leave work early, we can't say anything. We just have to serve you, so Come out and enjoy.
So if you do leave work early and you do enjoy one of these dollar beers, you're recommending not taking a picture and tweeting at Best Beer Garden.
Well, nowadays we talk about social media. It can make or break you, so that decision's yours.
Steven, thanks so much for joining us. I'm looking forward to diving into this food.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And enjoy Navy Pier weekend. And, you know, I just got to say, I hadn't gone for a few years. It's something I think a lot of people avoid, but some people, oh, I've been there, I've done that. You've got to get out and see the new changes because it really is a lot different. So if you haven't been for a few years and you're kind of, scared of the crowds, take public transportation and get there and enjoy all the new stuff.
Well, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you. And by the way, 100 pennies equals a buck.
Yeah, just to make sure. Have people been struggling with that fact?
At times they do, but you know, it's the 100-year celebration, so we're in.
I could imagine after a few dollar beers, not being able to do that math, but right at the beginning. All right, Steven, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
All right, we're going to talk with John Sculley. He's the former Apple and Pepsi CEO. He's still a very busy man. We're going to get to that, but first, a quick break. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Happy Friday, everyone. John Hansen in for Steve Bertrand on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We've had a great time today, and we're wrapping things up with John Sculley. He's the former Apple and Pepsi CEO, and if I had those two lines on my resume, I would be on a beach somewhere for every single day the rest of my life, a little drink with a little umbrella in it, just relaxing in the sun. But John Sculley, that's just not your style, is it?
It really isn't. No, I feel so lucky to have been in the right place at the right time with two wonderful companies. And I'm still really excited about the possibilities of building more multi-billion dollar companies. And that's exactly what I do as an incredibly talented entrepreneurs.
We're going to get to a couple of these really interesting, fascinating companies that are in the kind of the medical field. But you just wrote a book, Moonshot. Talk to us about, first of all, where that title comes from, and then explain what the book's all about.
Sure. Well, Moonshot has been in the lexicon of Silicon Valley for decades. It refers back to when President Kennedy said he was going to put a man on the moon within a decade, and they actually did when they had no technology at the time that he said it. So it was one of those extraordinary innovations. And so Moonshot refers to leaps in innovation. And I believe we're at a point now where there are several technologies growing at exponential rates of change. These are real leaps in cloud computing, mobility, big data analytics, and coming the Internet of Things, 20 billion wireless connected sensors by 2020. These are technologies that can be harnessed for some of our most challenging industries, and the one I focus on is healthcare.
You know, when you talk about making giant leaps forward, I feel like there's plenty of companies and people out there that kind of move the needle inch by inch. We go 1 inch at a time through some of these things. Do you feel like these industries and the ones that you work in, they need people to step up and set those goals just like kind of Kennedy did and kind of make these lofty aspirations? Even if you don't reach there right at the right time, you're going to make huge advances and you need those leaders.
Look, a lot of those leaders are really very smart. They did well in school. They work very hard. But they're often conditioned by the history of how things have been done in the past. So typically, big companies have business plan processes, and it goes on for months. And they look back at how they did the year before, and then they say, well, how much can we improve the next year? A much better way, the way we do it in Silicon Valley, is you say, what's a really big customer problem that needs to be solved? And how can we do it in a disruptive way? In other words, you don't get harnessed to the past, but you say, what are the possibilities based on the things we know that are happening in technology?
It's interesting you mentioned the word disruptive. I imagine that word has many negative connotations, and I would imagine, you know, when I hear that, that sounds like a bad thing. But you're saying that by shaking things up and trying things a whole new way, disrupting the flow of how things have been, that can, of course, end up being a good thing.
Well, it can, and you've seen that in industries from music to newspapers to what's going on in television now to what's happened in e-commerce with companies like Amazon. They have disrupted industries, but the customer solutions are better than anything we had previously. Take a big industry like healthcare. Mm-hmm. Healthcare missed the PC. It missed the Internet. It's decades behind many other industries, and yet it's a $3 trillion spend every year in the U.S., and it's not sustainable at the current rates of inflation. So it's a perfect opportunity to bring in disruptive, meaning in a positive way, innovative ways of applying technologies that have been used so successfully in other industries, but somehow failed to get taken seriously in the healthcare industry.
John, you're the. This will come as no surprise that John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, is way smarter than this John over here, John Hansen. And I was reading through. You're the founding partner and vice chairman at RX Advance and the vice chairman at MD Live. And I'm reading through it, and I've got to really connect the dots with some of these words to clarify exactly what these companies do. But in layman's terms, is it the control of information and able to? I mean, the ultimate goal is what, to be able to treat patients of chronic diseases in a more efficient and way better way to prevent problems down the road?
Well, I think of it this way, that there is a major pivot by the entire healthcare industry. This is the insurance companies, it's the large hospital systems, it's the government. Everyone says the way we've been reimbursing for medical care is not affordable. We have to put it more on incentives, and we've got to move the chronically ill. That's $1.5 trillion of our spend on just 5% of the population. We've got to move the chronically ill patients more and more from the hospital beds out to their own homes. And that's where these new technologies can really make a difference. So if you take something like the pharmaceutical spend every year, that's $800 billion a year. Most would agree that it's highly inefficient the way it's currently being done. Technology hasn't changed in 25 years. Here's an opportunity in what we're doing at RX Advance to fundamentally change the way we look at avoidable drug costs, the way we can look at giving better customer experiences in the home, All of these things can be done with digital technologies. And the result is we think we're going to build a business that will have about $10 billion of revenue by 2020, and that's not that far off.
John, I know a lot of people my age are budding entrepreneurs. They've been kind of forced into that position with a terrible job market on it when they graduated from college. And that's a disruption in and of itself, a chance for people to really do good things. I talked to some people that are in aquaponics and things like that are these, quote, noble causes, something that you say you learned from Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. How is it balancing between fighting for a noble cause and also at the end of the day, you're in business to make money? Do those things ever collide and intersect and kind of fight against each other?
Well, I'm sure they do because, there are always situations that you're going to have conflict. I mean, we know that there are a lot of people who have not seen their income increase in 20 years, that their skills that could give them a good job 20 years ago, those jobs just don't exist anymore. And so those people are getting hurt by a lot of things that are going on in society, which doesn't change the factor that we can grow the economy by bringing in more innovation, as I was describing in healthcare. At the same time, there's a responsibility to say, how do we train people for the kinds of jobs that are actually going to be out there? And that's something which isn't necessarily going to be done at college. College doesn't train people for job skills, but it can be done with vocational institutions. It can be done with on-job training, with more intern programs, things of this sort. So we need to get a higher awareness that the new economy that is emerging is very, very different. It's expected that 60% of the jobs mm-hmm. that we know today are probably going to be entirely different or even gone in terms of their exact function in 2030.
So soak up as many skills as you can. John Scully, the founding partner of RX Advance and the vice chairman of MD Live and former CEO of Apple and Pepsi and author of the book Moonshot. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, John.
All right, we'll be right back on the Wintrust Business Lunch to wrap things up. You're listening to 720 WGN.